Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Tonight is May 27th of 2016, and I'm Julia Cannon. And here in, well, it was sunny, Northwest Arkansas, and this is my favorite time of year. I just love it now because we're actually starting to get into more consistent, decent weather. We did have some storms that came through, but at least we're nice, and I love this time of year. So all good, all good. We're out of this snow and potential snow and bad yuck and everything. So I just love it. Anyway, so welcome everyone. And so glad you're here with us. Tonight, we have a special guest, that I'll get to here in a minute. But if you would like to call in with questions for our guest, the call in number is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. And I am really excited to have our guest tonight. This is Annie Stillwater Gray, and she has another book with us, and that's Education of a Guardian Angel. But what I love about you, Annie, is your story is just so really unique. And what I was so, I've always loved your story, but I really didn't really get to know you until this year when you were at the Transformation Conference. And, I was just so delighted to get to know you. I just have to say that. I just love you. And anyway, I just want to welcome you aboard. I'm going to bring you in a different way. I can tell a little bit about, I like you to tell your story rather than me give this whole, spiel about you and everything. We're going to do it a little bit different the way Mom always did it. I kind of continue her way because I really liked what she did. How she did everything. But Annie is one of our authors at Ozark Mountain Publishing, and I want you to tell your story, and because it is so unique and beautiful. So I wanted you to tell about how you got into this world, this very strange world, and what brought you into writing these books. It started, the first book you have with us, and that's part of the story. That's not the first book you wrote. Education of a Guardian Angel. And then the book that just came out is the Dawn book. And they're kind of backwards, which is what we learned at the Transformation Conference. And that's part of the story, which I believe you'll be telling tonight. So anyway, welcome aboard, Annie.
Thank you very much, Julia. My pleasure.
Yes. And so let's tell everybody a little bit about your story. What brought you into all of this? Because I know that's, we probably don't have enough time for all of your story, but go back a little bit and then bring us up, forward as to how all of this got started and what, when did you know and what, start wherever you want to, because this is so cool. Your story is really.
Yeah, I'll start at the beginning of my conscious interaction with my guardian angel or my spirit guide or my gatekeeper. Some people call them gatekeepers. But the important thing for everyone to know is even though I may have the unique story in that I'm able to tell it in a great detail, everyone has a personal spirit guide, a life guide that has signed on to be your guardian angel for your entire life. This entity helps you get ready for life on Earth and stays with you and then helps you when it's time for you to pass over. So it's like your best buddy, but in spirit. Now, I kind of had a feeling I'd heard about spirit guides. I had a feeling that mine was around. A lot of people do. But I didn't have the conscious connection is what I teach people, is how to get that conscious connection. What I mean by that is you can get definite information. Usually it's clairaudience. You can hear them talking to you. It's telepathic, mind to mind, heart to heart. 1989, I've been in radio for many years, and I lost my job and had a bad back injury at the same time and really hit bottom and thought, you know, there's no security on this earth. My dad came from a time, maybe yours too, you listeners, where, you know, you retired and you had a fund and you stayed till retirement age. But certainly radio's not like that, and a lot of jobs aren't these days, where you just, all of a sudden, you're thrown back out into the world and you don't have a way to make a living. And so I was pretty sad, and I was also living in a pre-Civil War house that had only a hand pump in the kitchen, right? No running water. I had to pump my water and then move it over onto the wood stove to heat it up. So it's pretty primitive. And, of course, with a bad back injury, that's not so easy. So this was a pretty trying time for me. I was, you know, going through the motions to do the dishes, and I heard my guide talking to me. And I knew it wasn't me, and I knew it wasn't me making it up either, because it was a male's voice, and he had a British accent. And he said to me, you know, of course, here I'm in radio. I love music. I have lots and lots of music. Back in 1989, it was all vinyl, of course. I had a whole wall of vinyl records. He said, you know, you never listen to classical music. Why don't we listen to classical music together? I said, what? And he said, I'd really like to hear Bach, but really the only one I really want to listen to that you have is a Beethoven record. And so I went into the next room where all the records were, and I did not even have to look. I just put my hand up and I pulled out the Beethoven record.
Oh, how funny. It was right there.
it was like he guided my hand to it or whatever.
Well, sure.
So scratches and all, we listened to the Beethoven record. And, you know, I trusted pretty much what I was getting, but still, you know, it's like so new. And luckily, you know, I had some other friends to help me understand what was going on. And also a book called Companions in Spirit, which I believe they have reissued with a different cover. It's by Leah Maggie Garfield. And she and her mother and her grandmother all had spirit guide contacts, conscious contacts, for their whole lives. And so she kind of explained what was happening to me, and it helped me. And also there was a meditation in there, which I still use, that what you want to do is you want to feel like you're grounded, and you want to feel like what you're getting is right. And I know you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, yes.
What I like to do is talk about the tarot card called the Lovers. This is from the Rider deck, which is the deck most people who would have anything to do with tarot, they know this deck. And it's what's always fascinated me, and it's an eye catcher, you know, if you've got a naked man and a naked woman. Mm-hmm. And the naked man is looking at the naked woman, and the naked woman is looking up at the angel. What it represents is the conscious mind has to go through the subconscious mind to reach the higher self or your connection to your spirit guide or your angels or whatever. But what I teach is making the connection directly from the conscious mind to the higher self, and that's done through telepathy. And it's time for us. We all can do it. And see, that's it. That's why I'm not really that special, except that I'm the one that's out there saying, you can do it. I'll teach it how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, there's more, of course, mm-hmm. but you know, I want to make sure that listeners have plenty of time to call in. Darcy was very patient with me. That's my guide's name. I should introduce him because he's here, of course. His name is Darsimon Stillwater, Darcy for short. And I guess the next part of the story would be that initial conscious connection came in September 1989, and then that Christmas, Darcy introduced me to a master guide. It was a very trying Christmas day because it was when they had the big uprising in Romania, and the people killed the royal family, and it was on Christmas Day, and I was very disheartened. I thought, when are we ever going to stop this crazy, you know, violence and greed on this planet? And I was very sad. So I went out for a walk, even though it was pretty cold. And as soon as I stepped out the door, I was visiting my mother. So this was in Connecticut, not Maine. And I heard this voice speaking to me, and I knew it wasn't Darcy because it had like a, all I can describe it as, like a ringing or a timbre to it. And I learned later that when you're dealing with the master guides, the higher echelons, you have that kind of a ringing, dingling sound when you hear them talk. So this particular guide said to me, you know, don't be disheartened because everything's going to change. And I said, good, I can't wait, right? And he said, well, how would you like to be a leader in the new time? And I said, wait a minute. What does this exactly entail? I mean, we're not talking like a Joan of Arc scenario here, are we? I mean, what do you want me to do? They said, well, it's very easy. This turns out to be a master guide, Achilles, said, we want you to write down information that is, it's time for people to have. It said, the human race has advanced. They're using more of their minds, and that's also why it's possible for us all to learn telepathy. We're using more of our minds, and we've advanced to the point where we can handle this information, which before now has only been available to, you know, shaman, gurus, you know, very high spiritual people. And now we have this. And so what I did was I started that right at the solstice of that year, of that 1889, and I sat every morning and wrote what, you know, they told me to write. Actually, Darcy worked with the master guides so that he had organized the material. So each morning we sat and I would write whatever they told me to write. What I like about, and this is the Dawn book that you mentioned, the Dawn book, Information from the Master Guides, called that because, A, I wrote it at dawn, but, B, it's the dawn of a new time. And I know that you've talked about that, and Dolores has talked about that. Mm-hmm. And what's exciting is that we're here right on the threshold. And what this book is information that helps us navigate this transition into this new time. That's why I love how you call your conferences transformation conferences, because that's exactly where we are right now. Is in this wonderful time of transformation where there's so much potential, so much opportunity.
Yeah, what I'm seeing, and I know this has been said so many times before, but just as you were saying that, about that time period that you're talking about right now, that 89 and everything right then, it's like that had to happen for all that stuff, and it's still happening now, but it's like that was really majorly happening then. It's like that's the old paradigms, it's like that old stuff coming down. So that's why we were seeing so much of that stuff. It's what's showing me. It's like that was like walls crumbling. And
it was stuff. A big change of energy right then. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was, some called it the Age of Flowers came in or something. There's a lot of different names for it. But the end of the 80s there was a change of energy. Yeah.
Okay.
Right on, so, Julia, as always.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened next then?
Well, so the Dawn book was done, and I typed it up myself. This is before, you know, we had computers in the home, so I typed it up on an electric typewriter, and I just had the pages, you know, I made copies so that, because it was such an exciting thing to have in my hands that I had to share it with people. And I started, you know, selling just self-published copies. And I started teaching around it, too, because it seemed a call to me to get, you know, just to get out there and to talk to people. Look, we're in this time that we need to be aware of, you know, and we need to raise our personal vibration so that because the earth is, you know, the vibration of the earth is increasing, so we need to match that in order to stay in tune with the planet,
And at that time, that wasn't really being said
that
much. Yeah, that wasn't a key phrase yet.
Exactly. Way back when.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, and I tried to sell it and didn't have any luck. And so Darcy said to me, again, this is my guide, Darcy said, you know what, write a book about me. That'll sell the Dawn book. So this was in year 2000. So I said, sure, I'm game. And so I sat down and he basically told me his story. And that's The Education of a Guardian Angel, which tells how he passed away. He died in 1836. He lived in the same village as Jane Austen and in the same time as Jane Austen. So he was in the same church as her, and her father was the preacher in that church. So you can picture that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he passed over, and the first thing that happened once he kind of got, he died of fever and chill and such. And the first thing he did was that as he was came out of his body is that he received a lot of love and healing, so that he got oriented to being in a spirit body. And then they said to him, you've earned the right to become a spirit guide. You have the opportunity to study to be a spirit guide. Now, he never really heard that term, and you know, so they said, well, guardian angel, because guardian angel is mentioned in the Bible, so he was more familiar with that term. So he said, well, show me what spirit guides do. I don't want to make an uninformed decision.
Mm-hmm.
So show me what spirit guides do. So that's pretty much what the reader does, is we follow Darcy. As he learns what spirit guides do, he makes his decision to study. We follow him through his classes and his training and his apprenticeship and his exams. And then about halfway through the book, he keeps asking where I am. You know, he remembers me in chapter 3. They had him have a separate lifetime from me so that he would forget about me, because he needed to make the decision to become a spirit guide without remembering me. Then he started reading about his past lives. And he said, wait a minute, where is she? Where is she? You know, why am I here and not her? Because she was my teacher in Egypt. She was a healer in Egypt. She was my teacher. She was an astrologer. She was my teacher. And, of course, the answer is that I screwed up and I got myself in some karmic trouble, so I had to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So then he said, and what's great is, as you read through, you really start to understand how karma works, because you can see it in the story.
Yeah.
From one lifetime to the next. You know, for instance, you know, I don't mind talking about it. And initially, I was a little, you know, well, do I really want to talk about it? Because, you know, it really lays my karma right out there on a plate for everybody to see.
Yeah, but that's, you know, hey, that's how we learn. That's how others learn.
Yeah. Well, I finally, you know, I've come around to thinking about it in the following way. If this is going to help people understand why they're dealing with what they're dealing with and understand how they can move forward in a positive way, then it's worth it, you know. What the heck? So in a lifetime, so Darcy and I were paired as like brother and sister, and then husband and wife, which is true, I think, of a lot of the people we have in our lives. We've known them before in other lifetimes, relatives or friends or cousins or whatever. So there was a lifetime in which Annie, was the husband, and Darcy was the wife. And it was in the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages there. And so I had a hard time keeping a job. Gee, I wonder why I had to face that again this week. But the story's in the book of how I came home and I had lost the job. I had moved my family from the hometown to a big city in order to find work. Found work, but then lost the job and was very, very disappointed, because we'd lost our, you know, our family base and everything, and I'd made my, and we had 8 kids. Mm. There wasn't a lot to do, I guess, in the Middle Ages, you know. So anyway, I came in and of course Darcy, as my wife, knew exactly that I, you know, that had, something had happened, could tell, read my face, you know. And then the oldest kid was 11 and started making fun of me, you know, started, you know, teasing, you know, doing that kind of sing-song, you know, yeah, you're a failure, daddy's, you know, da-da.
Mm-hmm.
So I got angry and kicked him. And that was, of course, a terrible thing to do, but it was kind of spontaneous. And he died of internal injuries, because, you know, this was a time when you couldn't rush you to the emergency room, you know. So, here's where the really crucial thing is, and that's what was important for me to understand, was if I had taken that bad judgment and that bad action or that negative action, and if I had really owned it and apologized and been a better father, and, you know, maybe gotten involved with the, you know, the village or whatever, you know, done positive things, but instead I shut myself away. I said I wasn't worthy of holding the baby anymore, or seeing any of my children, and so what ended up is that Darcy, as my wife, had another kid to take care of. you know. Now, right. Now she had 8 kids plus me. And all I wouldn't even eat. I wasted away, basically. And listen to this. This is the real kicker here. I sat there and I kept flailing the leg that kicked my son. I was cursing it.
Yeah.
People say there are no such things as curses, but there are such things as dying with a curse on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we make, just as we make birth imprints, which is our astrological chart, we make death imprints, which means whatever imprint is there when we pass over, we have to deal with that imprint the next, whatever our soul does next, we have to take that into account. So the death imprint for that lifetime had, I was just a shriveled little, there was just a tiny little light left. And then my leg was like just had shriveled down to a single line.
Mm-hmm.
So that the next time I was born without a leg.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that's how karma works.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's also very important to help people pass over and help them feel loved and peaceful.
Yeah.
It helps immensely. Any questions yet?
Not yet. I'll keep going.
Okay.
We'll hear a beep if somebody calls in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so karma is one of the themes through the book that you can really understand by following the story. You can follow the different lifetimes that Darcy and I shared, what we learned in those lifetimes, and how they moved onward. Like, so okay, so I was born in India without a leg,
mm-hmm.
and of course, you know, my father was a teacher, so I learned to read and so on and so forth. But you know, I did not live to a very old age. Then the next lifetime, the one before this, my parents. I was born in Italy, and my parents took me on the ship to come to this country, and they died aboard the ship. So I ended up on the shores of the U.S. in about 1900 as an orphan, and ended up in this very, poor orphanage in Brooklyn. And that's where Darcy finds me in the story, and they come and get me. My spirit guide for that lifetime and Darcy come and get me. So there's a very moving scene where, you know, the boys in this orphanage are so hungry that after they get their little like dollop of mush in the morning, they decide to go out and as a team kind of harass the food vendors and try to get some other food. So they go to this fellow selling fruit, and they have three of the boys come around front and distract them, and the other boys are like pulling the fruit off the back of the cart and stuffing their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So I, as a hungry, hungry little tyke, very hungry, back up and somebody's tossing me a pear. Oh, pears, my favorite. And I'm backing up into the street to catch it, and I get run over by a heavily laden milk wagon, horse-drawn milk wagon. The horse knocked me first. This horse is one of my power animals this time around, and I think the horse took me out, so I really didn't feel anything. And then the wagon ran over me and just crushed me. And you know, my where it ran over me, my hip bone is flat from where the wagon ran over me last lifetime. So I have a very different kind of configuration in my hip, which is why I've had back trouble. So, but what's comforting in this story is that when a child dies, they're immediately surrounded by loving beings, by angels, or however you want to picture it.
Mm-hmm.
So that I was immediately, you know, swooped up into Darcy's arms with my guardian angel right there, and taken away from the scene. They even asked me, "Do you want to?" They were taking my body back down the street, and they said, "You want to follow them?" And I said, "No, I don't ever want to be hungry again. You know, take me away."
Yeah.
So it helps, I think, people understand who've lost a child that there's something behind it. The soul was needed elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
which was the story for me, is they wanted to bring me back so that I could train with Darcy so that we could do what we're doing now, basically.
Yeah, you learned whatever it was. You went through whatever experience you needed to go through and did whatever you needed to do, and then you were out. It was done.
Yes, exactly. And you know, as Darcy was reading his past lives, there was one or two where the whole purpose of it was just being born. And then he just, he was a, like a, when babies die really young, like a, you know, a crib death, a stillborn or whatever, that's, you know, that's part of the evolution of the soul, even though it's very hard for us to understand.
Right. Well, and that's what Mom was finding out many times, is sometimes it was that. Sometimes it had to do something for the parents. It was something, it was just something right there. And that was it.
Yep.
And then they're done. And time to go.
Time to go. And sometimes it's just so hard for the people who are there, who are left behind, and, you know, who love that being so much. And that doesn't matter what age you are, you know, that kind of loss. And it's true with pets as well.
Absolutely.
I lost both my kitties this winter. They were 15 and 16, but they were my pals, you know, so it's hard. But it's a lesson for us to be able to let go and feel like we're blessed to have known those beings.
Yes.
Including my pets in there with me.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Well, I feel that many times, this is a sideline, many times our pets are our guides in disguise.
Well, they can be. Certainly, a lot of people ask me, is my guide an animal? Well, your guide is energy, and your guide can take any kind of, in fact, as we said, these came out in opposite order. Guardian Angel came out. Guardian Angel ends with the writing of the Dawn book. But a lot of people ask me, is my guide an animal? Because I see an animal. I see like a wolf or, you know, I see whatever, a bear. And I said, well, yeah, it's part of it. But what the guides do is they project images to help us feel close to them. And they can change what those are because they're just energy. I mean, they're the same soul, but they can choose to project different images. And the book that I'm writing now, which would be the fourth in the series, Darcy is asked to change the image that he's using to relate to me. There's a purpose involved, but, you know, it can happen. So, in fact, some guides, I think, really enjoy, you know, different costumes and different colors and stuff. Because I've connected a lot of people with their guides, and some of them are quite humorous or just love to put on a show, and others are just very serious or very devout. You know, it just varies. Depends on what the person needs.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'll have a story for you at some point. There'll be a point that I'll tell the story, and you tell me what you think. But go ahead. I want you to keep going here.
Okay. Well, it was wonderful to send my Education of a Guardian Angel to Dolores and have Dolores call me and say, this is a really great book, and not only is it great and I haven't read anything like this before, but it really is in line with everything that I'm getting in my work. So we were on the same page, Dolores and I. It was wonderful. And she did also... I think this was the first conference, because I've been at two of your conferences.
Right.
And the first conference, we did a panel, and Dolores said, well, we don't usually publish books with so much sex in, but I understand why it has to be there. And it's true, because our guides have to be able to deal with absolutely everything in our lives, and that's part of it. So that was so funny. We had a giggle about that.
Oh, that is funny. Well, you might explain where that came in.
Well, there's, as the guides, as Darcy's being trained, he has to learn how to change the mind of a husband who's abusing his wife sexually. He has to change the mind of a young man who's about to rape his girlfriend. He has to protect people who are in situations where they're going to be sexually abused. So he has to learn how to do that. He has to learn how to read the situation. You know, the guides, when they look at us, they don't see our bodies. Like, we look at each other, we see, you know, our physical bodies, but they really see our energy.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to learn how to read the energy of, for instance, of the young man. His apprenticeship was in World War II, and he was apprenticing a young French man, a boy, who has decided to enlist. And his first job or his first task with the boy was to try to cool him down when he was trying to rape his girlfriend. So, you know, so they have to learn how to help in these situations. it's hard for guides because they're just energy, they're just spirit, to move anything, but they can deal with energy. They can help with energy. They can change the color of energy. They can do healing is big with guides. So anybody listening right now, if you need a healing tonight, you just ask your spirit guide, please give me a healing tonight, and they'll do it. In fact, ask your guide for anything. That's what I say. You don't have to wait to learn telepathy from me or anybody. Just if you need help, write it down. Be specific, and your guide will help you. Acknowledging your guide is the first step. It's like, you know, saying, okay, I know you're there. I want to know you. Become a part of my family. You know, I know you're with me every day. Another thing I should probably point out, too, since we're just yapping on here, is that the guides have a creed. And part of that creed, of course, is that they're always come in unconditional love, and they never harm us, and they're always here to help us. But also, there's a privacy clause. So they will step back if you want. Otherwise, they'll stay as close as breath, is the term I like to use. But if, for instance, you feel like you need a little private time, you just ask them, and they'll step back. They have a good sense about for how long they need to do that. I was speaking in a high school class. I was asked to speak about women in the media, right, because I was in radio. And I said, well, I don't really want to talk about that because I don't want to encourage any of you to go in the media because it's very unstable business and it's, you know, it's terrible for women, so don't do it. Then we started talking about astrology, and I could see that they were more interested. These are 15-year-olds. Then we started talking about spirit guides, and they were on the edge of their seats. And one young woman, who I found out later came from an abused home, she raised her hand and said, so I have a guide. And as soon as she said that, there was her guide right behind her. I mean, I'm not a voyeur. I don't go around looking at people's guides all the time. But if somebody's asking I need to say something, I'll see it. I'll see the guide. Yeah. So I said, I described him. I said, yeah, he looks like a woodsman, like a maybe one of Robin Hood's merry men or something, because it's all hand-sewn clothing and all like greens and browns. He would just blend into the forest. And he's got a message for you. He wants you to know that he goes into the woods with you on your walks after school. Well, her mouth dropped wide open because she never told anybody where she went. And so a little while later, she raised her hand and said, so you're this guy, he's with me all the time. And I said, yes, he is. And she goes, does that mean he's in the shower with me? You know. So they have a privacy clause. If you want him to step back, they do that for you. You just have to ask. You have to ask. That's the thing. People ask. Ask your guides for what you need. Ask your guides for information. Ask your guides for healing. You know, just be very specific. And I have a story about that, too. But I don't know if I should tell it. Should I keep going?
Keep going. Yes. I know. See, what tends to happen is everybody's so enthralled with listening, they don't to call in and break the flow. So just keep going.
All right. Well, this is especially for you who like to make lists or who just want to write out what you'd like your guide to help you with. I had a friend. She was a doctor, too. She was a DO. She wanted to find a husband. So she wrote a list of all the qualities she wanted in her mate. However, she forgot to put unmarried. So she met a wonderful guy, fit all the qualifications, but he was already married. So she started over, right? She made a new list. This time she put unmarried at the top. But she happened to put, navigated money well. She happened to put that in the past tense. So she met a great guy, and he used to be a millionaire, but he wasn't anymore. He had lost all that.
Oh, no.
But he was still a great guy. I met him, and she was very happy. But so money isn't everything. But it was so funny that she had put that in the past tense. And then he had done really well with money, and then maybe, who knows, maybe he got tired of it. But anyway, the point being, be very specific when you're asking your guides for anything, or you just are explaining a problem or whatever. You know, be very, very specific. And think about it, you know, if you want to first, you know, a little bit before you put it out there. Or you can just speak from your heart and just let it out. That's what I tend to do.
Well, and there again, I love that because it shows the power of your words.
Yes, it does. Yep. I had a big argument with a friend once about what comes first, the thought or the feeling, right? You ever have that argument with anyone?
Yes.
Isn't that something? I swear, because I'm a very, you know, I'm a Cancer, I'm a water person, I'm very emotionally based, and so mm-hmm. I always say, well, it has to be the feeling, because that's kind of how I work. But they say scientifically it's the thought, so I don't know.
Well, I've heard that it's a thought, and then you add the emotion to it. It's like it takes the two, though, to going together to create, to manifest. So,
yes.
But I have heard that the thought comes first, but you can't do it without the emotion. So,
and everybody's different, too.
Yeah.
The thought may be up there, but it may be just like a teeny little catalyst, and then all of a sudden the feeling's like,
exactly.
really big.
Yeah, it's probably a millisecond before.
Exactly.
I don't think it really matters. Boom, boom. So,
well, so here we have two books that are different because one's a workbook and one's a story. And the story ends with the writing of the workbook. Basically, we go back before I wrote the Dawn book and before all that story that I told you at the beginning, all that happened. Go back before that. And then lead up to the writing of the Dawn book. And then there's the last chapter is us breaking through. You know, it was the hardest thing for Darcy to, after we'd been hanging out on the Spirit Guide plane and training together, to let me go, to let me, you know, condense into the little soul sphere and go into my mom's womb. It was hard because he knew that I wouldn't be conscious of him for years and years and years. And a lot of times, people never are conscious of their spirit guides. You know, they never connect with their spirit guides. But I'm trying to change that, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was very hard. And so the last chapter is when I'm 43 and where we started talking today about how I had lost my job and had the bad back injury and heard him talking to me. So the Guardian Angel book ends with that story that I told you at the beginning. And then the Dawn book is pure information. But it's wonderful because it has all kinds of visualization and information. Some of it I knew. You know, they talk about the chakras in here, things like that. But they also talk about other things that I'd never realized. And it's so helpful. And I think when I was at the conference this last year, I said, well, you know, if you have a Bible, you should get the Dawn book and put it with your Bible because this isn't like an update. It's a modern-day look at, you know, spirituality and how to adapt it to our everyday life, you know, without having it associated with any particular religion. But it is a guidebook and a workbook, and it's extremely helpful. There's an entire chapter on enlightenment. If you want to walk down the path of enlightenment, it tells you exactly how to do it and gives you the exercises and the visualizations and stuff.
Right, and tells you actually what it is, you know, because
yep.
there's so many different understandings of what it is. And it's like, well, this is, you know, here it is.
Here it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's raising it's raising the energy in every cell in your body so that you reach a plateau where one of the chapters is named Order Within, Chaos Without. So no matter what's going on in the outside world, you have peace and strength inside you. And you can see this overall picture so that you have a perspective so that you can take the most appropriate action no matter what you're doing. So that's, you know, enlightenment is that to kind of the nth degree. But you can do that anyway. There's different exercises for that, too. I have a 7-week-old kitten that's climbing up my leg.
Oh.
I told you I lost my other kitty, so naturally I had to get some more.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
Here's me talking.
One of the things I really enjoyed was like when you're talking about the chakras and how, you know, as we move through the different phases, you know, we were in that part like with as we're going through the struggles and stuff, you know, the power zones. It's like the different parts that people go through as they're going through the different. It's like it's humanity goes through it, and individuals go through it also, you know, as they're moving through the different growth things.
Yeah,
and then you see humanity in general going through it, and they'll go through the power, do it, and then in general we're kind of moving from that into the heart-centered
Exactly.
That's our goal, going into heart-centered
that
things.
That is right where we are. We're trying to move the energy up into the heart chakra and above. How different the world would be if we all operated from our heart chakra and interacted with love and compassion.
Right. And another thing there was, it was so interesting there for quite a while, you know, that goes along with, you know, mom was talking for their quite a while, all the body changes that people would start noticing. And one of the major ones was heart palpitations and all these things associated with the heart. And what that was the heart chakra opening. it was like, because people weren't familiar with that chakra doing its thing.
It was so new to them to feel that, to have that opening up.
Mm-hmm. And that's what that's all about.
And that, here's one of the things the Dawn book talks about, which I found was extremely interesting, and that is that they talk about how valuable emotions are. A lot of people, you know, try to push them away or contain them, or they don't want to feel them.
Yes.
But emotions are extremely valuable. They actually take a shape and a form on a nearby plane. There's so much that goes on this earth plane that we don't know about. but at any rate, you can actually take an emotion like anger or jealousy or even fear, and you can do certain exercises to transform it into love and compassion. It's just some simple steps that you can just take the time to sit and do the visualizations and do the breathing. You can pull yourself out of any deep emotional funk like that and put yourself in a place of pure joy. And the book tells you how to do that. I thought that
very
was incredible.
Cool. I just know, like, when I was writing my book, I had to see them to see what they were trying to, what the message was within them, so I could see that they had a form. And it was like, oh my gosh, you know. So yes, I can totally get what you're saying there, because it surprised me. When they did that, it was like, whoa, what are you? And they said, I'm fear, or I'm this. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yep, they have a color, a size, a shape. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It's really intense. But the happy part is that we can actually sit down and change that to something positive.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have to get it outside of yourself and look at it.
Yes.
Like you said, you have to be willing
to look
at it.
That's the first part. Yeah, you're exactly right. The first part is to name it and then to step back from it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see it, and then you can start to change it once you do that.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page here. Yay.
Yeah. That's what was so cool. That's what I realized at the conference this year. It was like I felt like I got to know you, and I was like, I like this lady.
the conference is just wonderful. I love the transformation.
It's really cool. Let's see. And then what did you, some things in the book too, is talking about going forward. And and vision for the new time and things like that. So you want to say anything about that?
Well, there is the opportunity that, of course, so many people have talked about earth changes, the earth changing from everything from earthquakes and volcanoes to rising seas and all this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought it would have happened by now. And some people think, it's because more and more people are doing the work, you know, finding their spiritual path and walking it. But I think that there's going to be something anyway at the conference, in fact. The very first speaker, Lee, talked about being some big earth changes coming quite soon.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of fearing them, I mean, it's good to know the signs so that you can be where you have to be. But also when there's any kind of upheaval, if you are, again, if you have calm within and you're strong within, you can make it, you can lead people to a positive place. As things are in flux, we can go to a much more positive place on this planet. We can, and in fact, what they say in the Dawn book is you don't give any energy to greed. Don't give any energy to violence. Move forward in love and compassion, and they will fade away. They will fade back. And that's really a wonderful message, because as we go forward, we have decisions and interactions every day. And if we base them out of love and compassion, the whole planet is going to transform. And they call it, the potential is for a new golden age. I think I've heard you and Dolores talk about it too. a new golden time for humanity, where we've actually made the leap up into our heart chakras and above.
Absolutely, and that's just it. Yeah, just it's boy, they're showing me. Yeah, like because it's just exactly what you said. They show me pictures to go with the words. So it's just like you said, the heart chakra and above. So
yep. How wonderful! What a wonderful future for humanity, and evidently that's happened on other planes or other planets, if you will. Mm-hmm. They're far ahead of us. We've been stuck in the third chakra stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
The power.
Yeah,
the
and
power
it's just you just let it go. You know, just don't be. But the first part is what you just said. Don't be afraid to feel these things. Don't be afraid of the emotions. We've been so afraid of having them. Well, that's why we came to this planet, was to experience them. And then we're afraid of them.
Yep.
Hello?
Yep.
And that's what it's all about. But they're very transformative emotions.
Yes, and we can work with them. We can make them something very positive in our lives and the lives of others. So,
yeah.
So that's straight out of the Dawn book.
Yeah, so that's where they all lie there. They're all in there. And so, yeah, it's don't let those block you and stop you.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Hey, there we go. We just solved it all for everybody, huh? Well, here's what happened. Okay. And the more I think about this, I was trying to figure out why it happened, but then I think I know why too. I think I got that answer, but, it's within the story. This is going back to, I think it was either when I was in nursing school or right after I was out of nursing school. So we're talking a long, 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 long time ago. And I was in Texas and Mom had come down to see me during that time. And we were visiting a friend of hers that we were down there with. And we had gone out to a shopping mall while we were down there and with her friend and everything. So we'd gone over and we were just moseying around this mall. But this was after time. I'd already been up here in Arkansas. And this is right when Mom was just starting to practice again. She was starting to experiment with different ways of doing her hypnosis. You know, she was just doing some of the beginning stuff. And she had just, I was her guinea pig. Okay. She was trying different techniques on me.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so we had done one that was meet your guardian angel. Okay, meet your guide or guardian angel. And we had just done that. Like one of the last times I had been up here, it was like a spring break or something. And in that one, you do this little exercise. It's just a guided visualization. And we go up a path and everything. And the guide comes out and he gives you, you know, you describe him and everything, and then he gives you something and he gives you a message and he gives you a gift. Anyway, that's pretty much, you know, and then he goes back and everything. Well, anyway, my guide kind of had the typical look of, you know, or what I would think was a typical look was, like a man from India in a toga, kind of a garb. And I can't remember. I think he gave me a box with something in it is all I remember. Don't remember what was in it, but I just remember what he looked like. And then one of the questions was he'll tell you his name. Okay. And he'll spell it for you because sometimes they're difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. Well, his name was Maruk, and it's Maruk. Okay. Mm-hmm. And those are the parts I remember. Okay. So that had happened. All right. So now Mom is in Texas. This is Corpus Christi, Texas. And she's visiting me and we're over at this friend's house of hers and we're all out at the mall and we're shopping. Okay. So we're wandering around in the mall And we go into this one shop that I can't remember. It was a very exotic shop, which was, I don't even know why we were in that one. It was something like Indian clothing or something, actually, or something odd. Yeah, it was a very exotic kind of clothing. I remember it being, you know, like shiny things. But anyway, we were in there and stuff, and Mom and her friend were shopping. They were kind of looking at one place, and I was over in another, around some clothing. And I started talking, like the shop owner started talking to me. And he was, you know, and I have no idea what we were talking about. I don't remember the conversation. I don't remember. I remember we got into this very, it seemed like it was a very deep conversation. And we were talking for quite a while. And then he gave me his card. I didn't buy anything. And then we left, you know, but it seemed like it was just very moved by this whole experience, you know, and it was just, but that was, I remembered him, and it was just this whole event. Okay. Because I can still tell you about the event. This is a long time ago. Okay. When we got back to this woman's house, I can't remember if all of a sudden I was looking at his card, and it, because something kept tickling my brain or something. Then I looked at his card, and that's when it was like, oh my gosh. Because it was like something kept telling me that wasn't an ordinary situation. And when I looked at the card, the name, and I still carry the card with me. It was something like, okay, because his name, okay, Maruk, M-A-R-U-K, this was something like, R-U-K, K, it was like it was transposed. It was like it was either backwards or then it was like K-U-R-M. It was backwards. Okay. But it was exactly the same letters, just in a different configuration, but it started with a K. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, oh my gosh, that was him. And I was like, could it be? And I kept trying, everything in my body was saying, that was Maruk. That was him. I'm like, but how? How could it be? How? And I'm like, and then we're all going, well, if we went back there, would it still be him? Would he still be there? And then, but we never did.
Oh, you never did. Oh.
No, we never went back. And I couldn't tell you what we were talking about, but there was some, whatever we were talking about is what made me feel like it was him. So. Uh-huh. And anyway, I kept the card because that was like, that's all I had to make me. It was like, that was what he gave me. You know?
Okay. So, and you don't, anyway. Do you remember anything about the conversation?
No. And I don't, and I kept thinking now while we're talking, it's like, why would he have come to me? But then I thought, well, wait a minute. We had a session where, you know, it's like, you know, you're asking to meet your guide or guardian angel. And then maybe that opened a door. You know, where I started, because, you know, everything from all of that, you know, I mean, I've been asking, you know, ever since then, you know, I've been building all of my, you know, stuff ever since then. So who knows what I asked
back then? Yeah.
I don't know, you know, because like I said, that was goodness. I went to nursing school and I passed nursing school in 79. So we're talking quite a while back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably, that'd been like 40 years. Yeah, about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I just, you know, is that, I mean, because, you know, you see it on TV that it happens. I just wondered, you know, and Garnet Schulhauser, he talks about his guide materializes. That's how he met him. So
it's not easy for them to do, but they can manage it under certain circumstances.
And it seems like it would have to be an important one. That's why I'm like, why did he do that? It would have to be important. It seemed like it would have to be really important for him to do that, if he did that.
Yeah. Don't you wish you had a tape of the conversation now?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I know. So another thing that the listeners, once they start asking their guide, talking to their guide, acknowledging their guide, be really aware of what's going on around you, because you'll have all kinds of messages and clues that your guide will give you, you know, just from everyday life. And that's the joy of working with your guardian angel, is that they're right there and they'll bring you things that either bring you joy. They love bringing things that bring you joy, you know, having things happen that bring you joy.
Oh, that's fantastic. And that's wonderful. No, I just realized what time it is, Annie. And that's a wonderful note to finish on.
Bringing
joy, and that is fantastic. So, Annie, please tell everyone how they can find you and if they want to contact you.
Yeah, well, my website is very easy. It's spiritguides.cc. I always just say to people, CC the spirit guides, right? So spiritguidesplural.cc, and that's my website, so you can contact me from there.
That is so cool. Thank you so much for being with us, Annie.
It's
Annie
pleasure.
Stillwater Gray, and she's done Education of Guardian Angel and the Dawn Book. And truly, it's been such a pleasure having you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you again. And we love being with you, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us and listening.